This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What a day. The NFL draft tonight, a gift from heaven for sports fans everywhere. Washington's on the clock at number 19. It's April 29th, 2021, the day that Washington will trade for Aaron Rodgers. You ready for that, Danny?
No. That's another team thing. My team, when a superstar that's from this city becomes available, he doesn't even call them. That's what I'm used to around these parts. When my team's going to go get a headliner at a quarterback, it's Alex Smith, who went an entire season without throwing a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. That's the kind of guy we go get. We don't go get Aaron Rodgers. That's not a DC thing.
It's not always Alex Smith. Sometimes it's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's Shane Matthews. Could be Shane Matthews. Occasionally, it's Danny Werfel.
Sometimes it is.
Remember Danny Werfel?
Of course I do. Part of the Florida quarterbacks that were available.
They were all available.
Cheap and available was how
Steve
they were described. Spurrier's
coming to town. All right, we got a loaded blitz, so let's get to it. We're going to cover the Caps' first-place game against the Pens tonight. We got the Nats after a big win with Eric Fetty on the Hill yesterday, and we will round things out talking football team with Pete Haley. But let's start things off on the hardwood. Be remiss if we didn't give the Wiz a couple of minutes on the blitz today. Chris Miles, you hear him right here on the Fan. He'll be anchoring some of our draft coverage on the platform this weekend. Last night, 116-107 win over the Lakers. Another trip dub for Russell Westbrook. Chris, I'm going to say something that you might think is a very hot, scalding take. I think Russell Westbrook is just completely underappreciated and not talked about enough.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you on that because I'm the one on NBA TV doing full segments 2-3 weeks ago. Like, look, this guy's averaging a triple-double in the fourth time in his career. He's on the verge of becoming the all-time leader in triple-doubles. And he's doing this, you know, at the latter part of his career where you're just questioning whether his career was over. And, you know, for those people that are like, oh, was that a fair thing? Yes. And this guy tested positive for COVID-19, did not look the same. So to see him bounce back and play the way he's playing, I think everyone needs to be talking about him. I tweeted out that I think he belongs on the All-NBA team. That's how good of a great of a season I think he's having.
He had 18 rebounds last night. I mean, nearly doubled up Andre Drummond, who's a foot taller.
That's not even the most he's had recently. He had 20 the other night.
It's absurd what he's doing. So, Chris, I'm glad they won the game. Obviously, the Lakers are a little bit undermanned, and they're just kind of treading water right now. But still, that was a grown-up win. They were the better team, and I like the way they imposed their will. A couple things, though, just sustainably going forward. I can't have a goose egg from Davis Bertans. I can't have Rui with one rebound, kind of generally not involved for quarters at a time. A little bit concerned about that, right? Obviously, Westbrook and Beal, great. They're doing what they do. They're superstars. But everybody else is going to have to pitch in if they're going to get out of this 10 spot, out of this little play-in tournament, make some noise in the postseason. I still think that's a running theme that I've got circled.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head with that. Because for me, to believe in this team, like Davis, I think in the last like 11 games coming into last night, was shooting like 49% from three-point range in that time period, and they've been winning. I'm like, okay, finally he's playing at the level we were expecting, especially when we pay a guy $80 million. Now, Rui, you mentioned the one rebound. I'm like, you had 8 shots? You dunked on Anthony Davis in the middle of the game and still only took 8 shots? I don't know. I see the potential there with him. I understand why guys like Chase Hughes are so high on him, But I'm like, I need to see it more often. I don't want to see him dunk on AD and then, like, go back to just playing his role. I think for this team to really be a team that I think, you know, people are like, oh, can they upset the Nets? Or, oh, can they? No. Not until I see those other guys become more consistent. I know Westbrook and Beal are going to be. I mean, they could possibly lead the league in assists and points in the same season. Like, that's going to be great. But the rest of the team, I just don't know yet.
Christopher, we love you. Thanks for the insight.
All right.
Be well, buddy. Let's talk. Let's move along on the Blitz. Capitals with our buddy Ben Raby, Capitals Radio Network. Benjamin, first place on the line and no Ovi. When's he going to play again? I was thinking he was resting up for tonight, and now he's not here for tonight.
Yeah, fellas, the antenna goes up when Ovechkin misses games like this due to injury because it's so rare. In fact, for him to miss a third straight due to injury, as will be the case tonight, you have to go back, fellas, to March 2011, more than a decade ago. The last time he missed three straight due to injury, he did miss four in a row earlier this year when he was on the COVID list, but this is very rare. He hasn't been on the ice in a team setting outside of a team picture the other day, but he hasn't been on the ice in an official capacity with his teammates since last Thursday night, the game on Long Island. So, yeah, I think there's a little worry maybe regarding that status. Hopefully he's back as soon as Saturday, but I think this is something, fellas. The antenna goes up when Ovechkin misses this amount of time.
Ben, I hate the Penguins. I'm terrified of them, even though the Capitals bested them a couple years ago. Evgeny Kuznetsov silencing that crowd, and they had to go home sad with his goal. But they've had ownership of the Capitals for so many years in my lifetime as a Caps fan. This team is really, really good. I know they're surging. Maybe it's because of a bad schedule, and it's also because they're good. What challenges do they bring? And Caps are going to have to get through them in the postseason as well, huh?
Yeah, it could very well play out that way again. I'll tell you, it's going to be a much different feel, should be a much different feel than what we saw the previous few nights against the New York Islanders. Again, the Islanders, not exactly the firepower up front, not exactly the amount of game breakers or the type of game breakers that the Pittsburgh Penguins have. This is a high-octane offense coming to town, a whole lot of speed as well. We've seen earlier this year, be it the Rangers, be it the Penguins at times, going back to January and February, speed teams have at times given the Capitals a little hiccup, a little challenge. And one thing the Capitals do have to their advantage, perhaps, is, again, that physicality, that heavy brand of hockey they can play. And they've shown a knack as well recently, the Capitals, to clamp things down defensively. So it'll be interesting, but they have their hands full, fellas, as far as the offensive prowess that Pittsburgh comes to town with.
Ben, rate the three likely playoff teams in the East other than the Caps in the order of who you'd most like to play.
You know, I had this conversation with a couple of colleagues the other day. I am not changing my mind based on what we saw from the Caps against the Islanders. And I rank them like this, fellas. Boston as most desirable. All right. Pittsburgh as number two. And the Islanders as number three. And I say the past week didn't influence my decision with the Islanders. There's just something about that team, fellas. As we've seen, it's a little bit of coin flip hockey with Barry Trotz and that stingy defensive brand that the Islanders play. The past three games against the Islanders, yes, the Capitals won all three. In two of those games, they scored one goal or less. It's a very tough matchup, I find, with the Islanders, as well as at times the Caps showed themselves against New York the past few days. It's still a team I want little to do with come mid or late May.
Ben, thank you, buddy. Be well.
Happy Draft Day, Grant and Dave.
Day.
Same to you,
thank
buddy.
You very
go
much,
watch
sir.
Draft Day starring Kevin Costner before the thing starts tonight. That should be a new tradition. Me, you go to Raby's house.
Yeah.
He makes us some popcorn.
Ben Raby, no matter what.
Maybe some fruit roll-ups, and me, you, and Raby watch Draft Day together.
Day.
I want some pizza bagels. Let's talk some baseball, please. Our buddy Jesse Dougherty covers those Nationals for the Washington Post. Jesse, they need Josh Bell to hit. Last night, good start, I think. A couple balls squared up, including one that left that bandbox of a field oppo. But, you know, humble beginnings here, right? Josh Bell needs to get going.
Yeah, I don't know if I was invited, but I'm going to pass on the Draft Day outing at Raby's.
That's probably a smart call.
That was a good sign for Josh Bell. I think not only is the home run good, but outs in the air are a step. And, you know, I think people roll their eyes on that. They don't really want to hear that fly outs are a good thing. But when you're going so poorly and you're beating the ball into the ground a lot, I think the fact that he's elevating pitches and and starting to get his angles up a bit is good. And frankly, the underlying numbers have been pretty solid, meaning his exit velocity, his hard hit percentage. And again, all these things can kind of sound like excuses, but I do think until we get a bigger sample, my conclusion is that he is on the doorstep of coming around. Now, we'll see if that happens.
Speaking of coming around, I need Juan Soto back in the lineup as soon as possible. I saw where Davey yesterday told you guys, it seems like he's not throwing. When he throws, it's going to be a few throws from really short, and then they're going to take a day off and then ramp it up and take another day off and just keep seeing how his arm responds. I didn't read that as he'll be back as soon as the 10 days is up. Am I wrong on that?
No, I didn't either. I think there was originally talk of like trying to get him in a few simulated games down in Fredericksburg. I think now it's more if we can get him throwing to bases, then he can come back pretty shortly thereafter. So I'm not sure if the ramp up is going to include sort of like a lot of live at bats or a lot of live innings, although those are pretty easy to schedule when you're just talking about, you know, facing each other down on the alternate side. But no, I think your read's correct. I heard that since he wasn't throwing on Wednesday yet, I think he needs a little bit more of a run up now if he's going to be testing the arm, seeing how it responds and coming back. Because the thing is, when he comes off the injured list, you obviously have to, you know, send somebody down. Your bench gets shorter. You need to make sure he can play every day. So I think that's what they're guarding against right now.
Well, speaking of playing every day, Zim needs to. I know it's not the design. I know it's not the plan, but he's hitting, and there, no one else is. It's basically him and Trey Turner, and I guess Harrison is holding his own, although starting to cool off after a ridiculous start. But they got to get Zim in the lineup. How do they do it, and is that the plan?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I've said this for a couple of years now, and for an old school manager and an old school GM who don't like the DH, this team could really use a DH. You know,
yep.
This week the lineup's that much better, and it kind of takes away some of the stress of that question, right? But now we're right back to it, where Ryan Zimmerman's been arguably your second best hitter behind Trey Turner of, you know, the healthy group. If you take out Juan Soto, and you can't get him in the lineup because you want to play Josh Bell every day because you think more at bats will get him out of the slump. I don't think the plan is to really up Zimmerman's usage too much. I think it will be a bit higher than it was, you know, in the previous week. Nationals faced a bunch of righties, so they kept Bell in. The more lefties they see, it becomes more logical to play Zimmerman. But yeah, I mean, that's a conundrum for sure when, you know, one of your top bats is not a guy you can play every day and the other, you know, seven guys in the lineup are not producing. You're kind of stuck in a hard place.
Jesse, good information. Thank you, sir.
Of course, guys. Thank you.
Always appreciate his work. Read him in the Washington Post. Let's move along on the Blitz. It's draft night. Football team picks 19th. Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington. So at what point tonight will Washington trade for Aaron Rodgers?
So I'm hoping it happens sooner rather than later so we can get through that wreckage and then deal with whatever happens. But I guess they would give up their first-round pick to do it. So sooner rather than later, just so we can start cranking out blogs and doing all that, Grant. It just would be really nice if they can knock that. For your sake, hopefully on your show, too, to help you get that ratings drive.
We would like that. Is there any chance they don't trade for Rodgers, or would you consider it a foregone conclusion?
I mean, this is all happening so fast, but they should definitely be in. I mean, if you're in on Stafford, if you're one of the teams calling Watson, you definitely have to call about Aaron Rodgers. And I would basically put anything on the table for the guy. I understand he's older than those two options, but he just seems like someone who could play well into his 40s if you would like to. I know he's got this Jeopardy bit going on, but a change of scenery with some new coaches, new players might get him kind of reinvigorated. And if he's really pissed off at the Packers, he strikes me as a guy who is not very amicable, not easy to make that up to. So if he wants to leave, I could see him leaving, and who knows, maybe he could come hang out in Burgundy and Gold and win a Super Bowl or two down here in the NFC.
A Super Bowl or two. What a funny thing to say.
I'm going to state my position very clearly on this. I know we have other draft things to talk about, but if there's even a sliver of a chance that Aaron Rodgers honestly could leave Green Bay, it is irresponsible for Washington to lose the bidding.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
There's like nothing they shouldn't say yes to.
It needs to be because you get Matt Stafford in. No, I want to go to California. All right, we can't be outbid on this one. Any person, yeah. Me, I'll go to Green Bay. And they could take Grant. They could take one of my kids. He'll go. Let's go to summer camp out there and learn to whittle. Anything on the table has to be included. You cannot lose the bidding. That's my official stance. But Pete, let's say that it doesn't happen, which I think it won't, because my team trades for guys like Alex Smith. They stay at 19. Which guard are they taking?
Oh, God. I'm over the guards just like you guys are. It seems like hopefully they have enough, maybe like 6 or 7 players who can play guard or center. There's plenty of versatility in there. They could go 5 deep at each position. The guy I like, and it would probably require a trade down to make it really work, but I just feel like Trayvon Morey from TCU is a safety that can make the back end really good between him and Cam Curl. You have one young guy who's better up in the box, making plays on the run game, deflecting some of those shorter passes, and then you get a ball hawk to kind of, when the pass rusher isn't able to get home, to take care of the deep passes, pick off passes deep down the field. But again, that's probably going to be something in the 20s if they trade back. If they're sticking at 19, I have no problem with any linebacker. But JOK out of Notre Dame, I think, is probably my favorite just because he's very modern. I'm into the modern game. I like projecting potential and positionless players. He could even help you out a little bit at safety, too. So JOK, 19, trade back if you need to get Trayvon Morey. Either one of those would be great. But it's weird I'm saying defense when the offense needs more help, but I just think making this defense from really good to excellent would be a wise decision by Washington.
Are you on Team GP here, which is a team where our motto is, stop caring so much about guards.
Guard.
So they traded for Ereck Flowers, and that was a great trade, and I'm really happy about it. They extended Brandon Scherff with the tag for a year. I thought that was foolish, but whatever. I would have signed him if he was willing to do that. He wasn't, so let him walk. No problem. But like, there's still some talk that if somehow Elijah Vera Tucker is there, they would take him. And I don't think he'll be there, luckily. Good player, but stop with guards. It makes no sense. Are you with me on that, or do you love guards like they do?
No, I mean, I'm not a mid-major college coach trying to, like, upset Kentucky and they need a bunch of guards who can shoot threes. I'm fine with what they have. It's enough. You're paying a ton to one. You just traded for another. You have another one that played pretty well last year. You have Wes Martin and Keith Ishmael. I mean, how many guards do you need? Even if Vera Tucker's there, and I know he's popular and he's versatile and can maybe play tackle, I don't care. Just try and take Christian Darrisaw, a guy who's actually trained to play tackle and could be really good there and, you know, can project there instead of a guy who might need to bump inside. There's no more room inside. You can't have five guards in a center. That's not how this game works. So I'm over at $2,000 enough. Basically, any other position besides that would work for Petey.
What if they did do a Scott Brooks bit where they played like five guards? Like where they they went
pack
small.
Them in a big, yeah. Yeah.
they just came out to start the game with five guards.
Scherff and Schweitzer. It could be like a square. You have those two as your front guards, and then you have Flowers and AVT as your back guards, and you just plow up the middle. You don't care about edge rushers. You just make a compact square, and you keep everything, not even between the hash marks. Like, even you play between the logo if you can. Ooh. Keep it really tight and straight ahead.
That was like Parkview Sterling's offense, like jumbo back like 12 years
just
ago.
Just running the wing tee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete, good work, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Get your rest. You'll need it tonight when they trade for Rodgers.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get the seventh interview with him and have him be rude and sarcastic to me.
If you get the seventh interview, you should
call me
up.
Whatever name you want, Aaron. Seriously.
I'm sure he would, by the way, that's probably how that interview would go. He'd be like, listen, what was your name again? Pete?
What is it, Pete?
Pete. I'm the host of Jeopardy, dude.
Right.
I'm not here for you.
What is me not caring about this interview, Pete?
I've done enough interviews, Pete. You got a podcast? Is that what you said?
Yeah, go cool. Listen to your EDM music on your five different screens and Twitch it. Get out of my face.
That was your Beltway Blitz. I actually have a thought on Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy while he plays. I think that actually adds a lot of value to trading for him, weirdly.
What?
Yeah, we can get into that. If you guys want to hop in, 800-636-1067. If you're wondering why we're talking so much about Aaron Rodgers, why we're joking so much about Aaron Rodgers, it's because Adam Schefter's reporting that he's telling the Packers he doesn't want to play for them anymore as we're hours away from the start of the NFL draft. And Washington made the best offer for Matthew Stafford. That's a thing that happened. I can tell you with conviction, I know this, they made, prior to the Rams getting in and them being able to sweeten the pot with an extra one because they had to get him to take the golf contract, they had made the best offer prior to that Rams, Sean McVay kind of jumping to the front of the line thing. They've been in on quarterbacks all offseason. So we're just kind of having a little fun. Aaron Rodgers is out there. How many teams actually are in the mix? Washington should theoretically be one. Grant and Daniel the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
CBS's Will Brinson was going to join us to mock out the first round with us in about 10 minutes. Now we got to ask him about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we do.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So this is a thing. This is not like, oh, Adam Schefter says he might not want to play for the Packers. He might be on another team at the end of this weekend, it sounds like. So let's just read some of what we're hearing now and seeing on Twitter from a bunch of the lead reporters in the country. Jay Glazer, who kind of just swoops in occasionally to break big news, he's like probably more tied in directly with players and some coaches than anybody. He said Aaron told the Packers he does not want to return, as Adam Schefter has reported. He said he thinks he's pretty strongly convicted that he doesn't want to go back to the Packers. It has nothing to do with his contract. Meaning, this is not about money. This is not a dispute where you didn't pay me what I wanted or I want a new contract. This is, I'm done with you. Okay? Trey Wingo. Now, Trey Wingo, for years and years, hosted NFL Live on ESPN. He's no longer with ESPN. But he tweeted out, the Packers reportedly told Aaron Rodgers they were going to trade him this offseason. Then they backed off. It's been a bleep show between them ever since. And within the last week, Rodgers told the team, trade or no trade, I am not coming back. Buckle up, folks, is what Trey Wingo tweeted.
Oh my God.
Like, this is happening.
Yep.
This is the Michael Scott gif from The Office where everyone's just like running around bumping into each other like atoms, you know, when you like socks when you turn on the dryer, and he's going, okay, it's happening. It's happening. No one knows what to do with their hands. Aaron Rodgers is trying to force the Packers' hand into trading him.
Three different members of their organization, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, and Matt LaFleur, have all independently taken plane trips out to California to see Aaron Rodgers and ask him.
That's standard, even if a guy... Wait, I'm being told it's not standard.
It's not standard at all. Normal, like, for example, when Ryan Fitzpatrick signed, it didn't take Ron Rivera and the two Martys independently flying down like, please, please come play for us. If all goes well, you should get multiple starts this year. 10, baby. Maybe 11 until we turn it over to Heineke. No, this is begging him to come back. That's what's happening. Oh, my God. Now, maybe they reconcile. Maybe they're like, listen, hey, bud, multiple NFC title games in a row. If we trade you before June 1st, we incur like the most awful ornery cap hit in the history of the world. Post-June 1st designation, can you be patient? We'll figure this out. We'll get this done. Or, you know, maybe you can come back and maybe you can play with Devonta Adams some more and look what we do in the draft and see if we can, you know, get you right back to it for chance another title. It's ridiculous. You only have one. You're an onside kick recovery away from being right back in another Super Bowl that Seattle won, right? We know you're the greatest. We're lucky to have you. We're sorry about everything. Maybe they could fix it. The other maybe is, it's too late. Oh, and he's out. And he's going somewhere else, like within 48 hours. Aaron Rodgers.
All right, here's what Florio said. Pro Football Talks. Mike Florio, who was on the show yesterday. He said, from an unimpeachable source. By the way, good word. Unimpeachable, his source. Which means not able to be doubted, questioned, or criticized. Entirely trustworthy. It's a great word choice. He says, as of last night, Aaron Rodgers' wish list was the 49ers, Broncos, Raiders, not necessarily in that order. He wanted the Packers to take the 49ers offer. Next move by Rodgers is to be determined. So I guess San Francisco has called and maybe offered something, according to Florio.
So I saw that.
For Rodgers this offseason. Now, for the record, Schefter is saying no team has made a formal offer this offseason yet for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But Florio is saying he wanted the Packers to take the 49ers offer, so I don't know exactly what that was. Next move by Rodgers is to be determined. Florio subsequently has reported that the two most likely destinations for Aaron Rodgers are the Broncos and the Raiders in the AFC West. Now, you're not hearing the Washington football team in any of this. Slightly discouraging. Here's what I don't know. I need someone to dig on Aaron Rodgers' contract and whether or not he's got a list of teams he's able to be traded to. Is there some version of a no-trade clause? Those are more popular in other sports, but they're very prevalent with marquee quarterbacks. Does he just want to go to the Broncos or the Raiders? Or is that what he'd prefer? Because if I'm the Packers and there's no contractual obligation for me to trade you where you want to be traded.
Yeah.
Cool, Aaron. You're ruining my time.
Yeah.
You're ruining my life. I have to trade you now because you're unhappy. I'm not trading you where you want to go if you don't have to sign off on it. I don't care that you want to be a Bronco, Raider, or 49.
Right. I don't have any trade, no trade language in front of me. I have the money, the dollar figures. But I also wonder this, just I'm just playing this out in my mind as you're talking about that. Is it the kind of thing where, let's say for the sake of argument, they go, hey, we got a great deal from the Jets. Let's just say, right? And Aaron Rodgers goes, I'm not going to the Jets. Then the Jets might not follow through with their offer. Does that make sense? Like if Rodgers right now holds enough clout to be able to say.
Meaning because he could just retire and host Jeopardy?
Or something. Like you.
Because if you trade him to the Jets, like other than holding out, what recourse does he have? He's got
right. It would basically be that
on his contract.
Yeah, it would be to say, I'd like to play for one of these few teams. And by the way, there are teams that would move heaven and earth to get Aaron Rodgers: San Francisco, Denver, Oakland's got.
By the way,
name that car. But I'm sure they'll move, make some room in the QB room.
He's got a massive cap hit.
Oh yeah, it's enormous.
His cap hit is $37 million this year, $39 million next year, mm-hmm. and $28 million the year after that.
Worth every red cent, by the way.
Basically got 3 years left on his deal, mm-hmm. and it can be torn up and redone after this season, which is most likely, I would say, that happens. I think it's probably a one-year deal at a $37 million cap hit, and then he'd restructure wherever he goes. So if this is the Raiders, you probably have to give up Derek Carr in the trade. If this is the Broncos, I don't think the Packers want Teddy Bridgewater, but...
They're like, we'll give you Drew Lock, will you? What if you didn't?
Financially, that doesn't help you get out of that burden. Maybe you have to give up just one of your higher-paid players, whether that's a lineman or a Von Miller or something
like
that.
Yeah, so the way it would end up going is, because Green Bay's in salary cap hell starting next year.
They wouldn't be after this trade.
No, they still would be. They still have a dead cap with Rodgers that would still hit them.
Well, let me say that they'd be in better shape if they got rid of this contract.
Yeah. But the way you would probably do it is obviously name every basket of picks that you could possibly think of that's reasonable, then add a couple. And then who are your best young talents? You know, we like that receiver that you guys took, who's good. I think they, you know, whatever. We like Von
Jerry
Miller.
Judy?
Yeah, but look, or the other kid that came on strong at the end of the season last year, whose name I'm blanking on. But there's
Tim Patrick?
Patrick, that's the one. So we like him. Part with him. Part with all the picks. Give us a lineman. Whatever it is, you rebuild your team right then and there. And hopefully you use that, if you're Green Bay, use that ninth pick to maybe move up and get your quarterback of the future, or you trust that you were right about Jordan Love. I don't know. That's the way it's going to have to work. Like, even if it's just a few teams, the bidding would be outrageous.
But specific to Washington being engaged here, I think the only thing that matters is finding out whether or not Rodgers actually has in his contract mm-hmm. that he dictates who he can and cannot be traded to. As an example, Russell Wilson, remember? It came out that he might be traded, but there were like four teams he was going to okay a trade to, and that was all contractually done. Your point is he could just go decide not to play, pull a Mike Bibby, and, like, never show up. Okay, I guess, yeah, that's probably true. But I might still take the chance to have Aaron Rodgers' rights for a few years if I'm another team. But if this started when I first heard this, it's just one of those things when it comes out a few hours before the draft where you think, wow, that's crazy, but that's not actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as I sit here, and everyone's jumping in to kind of add their two cents on, they're talking to someone. Rodgers is probably texting some national guys. I would think his agent is talking to a lot of people.
Has to be.
Everyone seems to be saying, like, he's not going to play for the Packers. Do me a favor.
Yep.
Mike Silver is basically the Rodgers whisperer.
Okay.
Like, he is boys with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's purposefully sitting this out right now, but see if he's tweeted anything. They both went to Cal. They've got, like, a really good connection, and he does a lot of Rodgers newsy stuff. generally.
I'll give my thoughts on the Rodgers-Packers drama next on NFL Network.
Okay.
So
he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, like he's, I don't want to say they're boys. I don't think they're going fishing.
Right.
But they both went to Cal, and they got a really good relationship. So I'd be curious when he jumps in on the fray what he has to say about this. Because in the same way that, you know, there's someone you could text for information or I could text.
Right.
Like, he's got a pretty quick line to Shailene Woodley's boyfriend.
I don't know why that popped.
I don't know why that popped.
I'm going, who is that? Oh, that's right. That's how he's known. That's how he's known is Shailene Woodley's boyfriend.
Dude.
That caught me.
So clearly, as a fan of the Washington football team.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. It would never happen. You have a great quote where you keep saying, my team brings in Alex Smith.
Yes.
And you're right. My team brings in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it would just never happen. I can't stress to you enough, though, how life-altering it would be for people who care about football here if somehow tonight we found out that this was happening. It's just not going to.
Right.
So it's not
gonna
probably not worth us talking about.
And I'm somehow arguing with people like the merits of it. You know what I mean? Right. I basically said,
here, who are you arguing with? About the
it's a normal Twitter situation where they're like, yeah, go all in and trade for a guy that's only going to play for a couple more years or something like that. First of all, quarterbacks play longer.
Block that person immediately.
Yeah, but second of all, there's a move. There's a move that makes you a double digit winner and a true Super Bowl contender.
Are they going to go 13-4 next year?
It's not drafting Christian Darrisaw and like watching Montez Sweat off the
edge. That guy's ready to trade up for Trey Lance, by the way. Have fun with that. Aaron Rodgers is available.
Aaron Rodgers.
Grown-ups are talking. Please get out of the room.
Good Lord,
Mommy
man.
And Daddy are having a discussion. I just got a text from an NFL agent. He says, would you trade 19...
Yes.
15- right. But listen to this. This is a bit. He said, would you trade 19, 51, and one of your D-linemen for Rodgers? And I said, is this a joke? I would double or triple that package. He said, those picks and John Allen?
Yes.
And my point is, what else do they want?
Right.
The Packers have to agree to this too, right?
Right.
There's just nothing.
Okay.
There is just nothing that you could say, would you do this? And I would say no. And I'm not doing a bit. If you said you have to give up all of your picks for the next 2 years.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers is willing to come to Washington and play here. What time's the press conference tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my question.
If they're into my seventh rounder, they can have my seventh rounder too. Like, name it.
No, I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying.
I'm telling you too. That's a throw in too. If they want every pick,
I won't have a draft pick for 2 years.
I understand.
I'm Grant McVay.
Yeah.
We won't show up for the draft. 31 teams will have a draft, and we'll be at Aaron Rodgers' house playing cards.
Yeah.
What time's the press conference?
Right.
You get it?
Of course I do. My point is, so they're like, nope, we need that seventh rounder too. Like, okay, guys, there's no line in the sand. It's a whole beach. Explore the space. Pick a guy you like. Pick five. That's Aaron Rodgers.
If you got $14 million in cap space, you can have Aaron Rodgers. And if you got that, chances are you won't mind the $7 million in roster and workout bonuses. So that's about what it would cost by the time the Packers pay the part of the freight that they might have to. Adam Schefter says, while certain teams have, Chris Russell in this here. Sorry about that. I just lost the tweet. I'll pull it back up in a second. One other thing, you keep saying, my team doesn't do this. My team only has, you know, Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I just love that line. Why does Denver get to do this again?
This is what blows my blood.
Denver,
it's always somebody else, Grant.
But not only that, they just got Peyton Manning. They just did it.
They
get to do it again with the next. What did I tell you? The two best quarterbacks of my lifetime are Peyton Manning. They got him. He went and won a Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers.
And they already had Elway too.
Why do they get to do it?
My turn.
But forget Elway. They get to just get the guys that leave the place and go somewhere else. They get to do that every time.
It's never the Wizards' turn.
So in 15 years, when Jordan Love leaves as a Hall of Famer, he's going to go to Denver.
Yeah, it's when our potential Hall of Famer, who's from 20 seconds from where I'm talking right now, is a free agent. He doesn't call us. He gets to go. So the Brooklyn gets him. The New Jersey Nets have been a joke my entire life, but he gets to go there. Somehow Golden State gets a guy. The Lakers always get a guy. Boston gets a guy. Where's mine? Where's my D.C. guy? Where's that? Where's they just go, you know what I want to do is come play in Washington, D.C.? When is that going to happen? Ever. I want that.
San Francisco pulling this off would be pretty badass. Yeah. He gets to go to California and live with Shailene. And host Jeopardy, and Kyle Shanahan gets to win a couple rings. Forget Mac Jones. What if Kyle was like, No, we're good. We got Mac Jones at number three. We don't need him.
We're all set.
Everything's fine here. Talk to Will Brinson next on Grant and Danny. G&D on the Fan, running a little behind because we've been having fun with all this Aaron Rodgers news.
Shenanigans. Day,
nothing to see here. Nothing going on. Will Brinson, CBS Sports. We wanted to get him on to mock out the top 20, and that's become a secondary angle now. What's up, Will? How are you, brother? Been a long time.
What's up? How's it doing? You know, I was, I'm not in the market, so I don't get to listen to y'all's show, but I got a call from my buddy Zeke yesterday. He said, Brinson, I don't know if you're aware, but Danny's talking smack about you on 106.7 The Fan.
Oh,
I
mean, come on. That's not what happened.
What is going on, man?
Will.
I don't mind coming on here. Like, I like you guys fine, but I mean, like, if I get calls from people saying you're, like, crushing me for no reason. I mean, what the hell is going on, man?
Oh my God. I now feel horrible about this. I basically.
Dude, you killed Brinson.
And that's not what happened at all. I'm literally sitting there going, I like Will Brinson. I literally said the words, I like Will Brinson.
You just swallowed. You're nervous.
I am nervous because this is what happens. My wife accuses me of being defensive. Then when I say I'm not defensive, I'm now actually being defensive. Here's what happened.
Well, you sound defensive. What's going on? I don't have, like, a great reputation, but again, I can't be dragged publicly.
You were not being.
Just bring me on
how
the
many,
show
was
and
it
drag
just
me
one
you
guy?
Drag me.
How many texts did you get, Will?
I got a couple texts. Somebody was like, my buddy who I went to law school with and lived up in D.C. heard you getting dragged on the radio, and then Zeke actually called me. I was like, what did you do to these guys?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. All right. First of all, I apologize. Second of all, it got really awkward. I said I'm a Will Brinson guy. I like Will Brinson a lot. And then everyone just kept looking at me. Right? Everyone looked at me. And then I kind of defensively, I went, what? I do. I like him. And everyone was like,
was after you said, like, why do people sit on Twitter all day waiting for, like, Will Brinson's takes or something like that?
Yeah, stop. See, this is what happened, Will. They did this cross-examination thing where I was just trying to explain. I think I used your name as an example.
I love that it got back to Will.
I don't, because now, like, there's a legitimate feud here, and now, like,
it's not a feud. You'll
this
still
is a
come
feud.
On.
Now we have to settle at WrestleMania. So, Will, I'm basically saying, like, I'm reminded every once in a while that there's this little tiny corner of the universe that's on Twitter constantly, like, refreshing this and that. It's like, oh my God, like, Will Brinson just said this or this. And regular people just living their lives. That was the point
I
made.
Danny. Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Guess what? Grant called me yesterday. We're just about to meet
you. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
I knew he was coming on. I'm like, when we start, just make sure you pretend like you're mad at Danny. Here's what happened on the show.
I almost forgot to do it.
Like, oh my God.
I didn't remind you. So I was like, we were super late anyway. And I was like, if he doesn't do it, I'll be a little bit disappointed. But at least because we're not going to have any time with him, then we'll just get straight to football.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you did that.
Nobody called me. I actually texted Zeke. I was like,
oh my God.
I'm going to reference you on the radio today, buddy. You're going to be here. He's like, Is it in an illegal way? I was like, no, it's fine.
Everything's fine.
I'm using you for a bit.
I was gotten, and I was legit mortified. I was like, I'm going to need Will's number. I'm going to have to call him after the show. Another thing I have to do.
I was telling Grant, too, like, this happened to me with Good Morning Football.
Yeah, they name-checked him the same way on Good Morning Football. Like, he's just the guy that comes up.
Yeah, it's because you can use me as an example like that, and you know I'm not going to care. So it worked out. It's fine.
Will, what is the percentage chance that Aaron Rodgers is traded tonight? And then maybe what is the percentage chance that Aaron Rodgers is traded by the end of the draft?
So I think it's zero. Well, I don't want to say it's zero, but the problem is, remember, the 49ers traded you can only trade 3 years worth of picks, first round picks in the NFL. They traded all of them to the Dolphins to move up. And so until the draft starts this year, they can't actually trade 2024s first. So they have to wait till the draft starts to be eligible to trade 2024, which presumably they're going to need to get Rodgers. And then you also have to negotiate, you know, like who, because like, I think that's the only team that could really pull it off. So I think there's a really low percentage chance it happens tonight, but I think San Francisco is probably now mulling at least, okay, you know, who would Green Bay like in a deal? You know, do they want, would they want Jimmy G back, you know, plus Kyle Pitts? So all of a sudden, do you have to draft Kyle Pitts at number three, hoping you can use him to trade to Aaron Rodgers? Or do you just proceed as normal drafting, you know, whether it's Mac Jones or, I mean, like, you have to think, if they draft Mac Jones, it's gonna be, they can't turn around and be like, hey, Green Bay, would you like Mac Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo for Aaron Rodgers? And they're like, no, we don't. We already have Jordan Love. Why would we want Mac Jones? So that whole part of it is really, really tricky.
So, Will, like, these other quarterbacks took their turn this offseason. Deshaun Watson, then obviously we know what happened since. Russell Wilson kind of took his turn with the disgruntled one. This one seems the most severe and real. Is it just because of the timing that it seems that way, or is your read on it that, no, the divorce is imminent and he's already moved his stuff out?
Yeah, I mean, it seems more real because this was all – this is what we thought was going to happen last offseason. You know, when they drafted Jordan Love, it's like, oh, Rodgers going to throw a fit. He's be mad. And what he, you know, he didn't. He admitted that it, you know, bugged him a little bit at first. You know, he came out and said that. But by and large, you know, he was a good teammate, a good player, and a great player, right? He wins MVP. And now what's happened is Aaron Rodgers, as I understand it, you know, there have been discussions about his future. And if you look at his current contract, the Packers can get out of it after this coming season really easily, like $17 million dead cap hit, not ideal, but you know, you can live with that when the cap spiking back up. The problem is he wants an extension. He wants to be rewarded. He wanted to be rewarded for that MVP season, and the Packers don't want to do it. So there's some more bad blood there. And it's just all sort of come to a head where, you know, Rodgers is like, you guys are running me out of town eventually. You know, why am I going to let you guys dictate it to me on your terms when I'm playing at an MVP level? That's just, you know, that's not going to work for me. And so I think that's why he's taking the stand now and saying, no, I want to be traded. And, you know, the problem for Green Bay is that if, you know, if they had a month ago, if they knew they were going to do this, you could shop around offers, you can figure it out. You know, maybe San Francisco hasn't traded all those first round picks because you'd probably rather have 12 and two more first rounders in the coming years for Aaron Rodgers and et cetera. So, I mean, that's part of the problem is all these pieces have moved as, you know, San Francisco went away from potentially going to get Deshaun Watson and focused on draft quarterbacks. And so that all becomes really problematic from a timeline standpoint. And it probably will only create more chaos within that, you know, relationship.
Will Brinson, beautiful execution.
Pranked the hell out of me, man.
Couldn't have done it without you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's way better than draft talk.
I got to be honest.
I was mortified.
We've done a lot of draft talk. That's the part of the show that I'll bring up in a year or two. That one right there. Thank you.
All right, good stuff, man.
Thank you, pal. Enjoy, man.
Our buddy Will Brinson of CBS Sports.
I was legit freaked out.
I could see it in your
face. I don't
know
if you could see my face.
As soon as you started, and Darius was dying, and I had to get on the mic and just in his ear go, I set this up, everything's fine. Because he's like, oh, my God, like, how will this end? And I just wanted to let him know that it was all going to be okay.
One of us knew it was going to be fine.
5 at 5 on G&D next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.